you've probably heard that local churches are taking precautions to protect congregants during this pandemic. Masses are streamed online. A number of services are being offered to help people stay connected spiritually while practicing physical distancing. And we've been hearing from local faith leaders who are worried about not just, you know, whether people feel like they can show up and, quote, pack the churches, as President Trump said that we would all do on Easter, which is what we're not going to do now. But they're worried about people who are hurting, people who are feeling the pain of isolation, maybe even feeling broken, spiritually broken perhaps, but also just the mental anguish that can come from feeling alone. And they've been working on what to do about that in various ways. And I want to bring in three of the most thoughtful voices you will hear in Rochester. Pastor Imani O'Lear is with us, from Reformation Lutheran Church. And Pastor, it's always nice to see you in person. Someday soon we will do that, but it's nice to hear your voice on the phone. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Well, hanging in there
You're
right here. Pastor Matthew Martin Nikoloff from the South Wedge Mission is with us as well. My friend, how are you?
Very sad after hearing that news, but also very thankful to be together with some people that I really love on this show right now. So thanks for gathering us here today.
Well, thanks for making the time for us. And Reverend Sherry Halliday Kwan is with us from the First Unitarian Church of Rochester. Reverend, how are you doing?
I am doing okay. I mean, as we all know, it's a lot to hold, but I'm grateful to have this opportunity to connect.
Yeah, and so let's start with this. Let me ask all three of our guests to offer some opening thoughts about what is, maybe what's top of mind for you and maybe what you're concerned about when you think about people who are hurting. And obviously, I'm not just talking about people who are struggling with COVID or with family or friends with COVID, but just feeling the isolation, the lack of connection. And I'll start with Pastor Imani O'Lear.
Thank you. I guess what's on the top of my head and with the conversations that I've had is how we've gotten away from how it's okay to lament, how it is okay to vocalize. You know, I think of persons at funerals in different cultures that keen, right, that wail aloud. But we've been told to keep a straight face. It's fine. In my tradition, we call ourselves the frozen chosen, where we don't allow that to come out. So lament and how we can do that and how it's so prevalent in scriptures for us.
Pastor Nikoloff.
Yeah, I think one of the things I'm concerned about is both people in a religious community and people outside of one, we're facing a collective trauma that is way bigger than most of us, younger folks especially, have ever experienced, maybe more than our parents have ever experienced. I know some of the older folks in my church had parents who lived through, world wars and depressions, and they have a bit of a different story. But for a lot of us, especially in a post-religious culture, I think sometimes we aren't aware of the spiritual resources that are at hand, like lament, like Imani shared, like forming community around these deep existential questions, around these deep feelings we have and around these fears. There's a really amazing writer, Rezma Menakem, who wrote a book called My Grandmother's Hands, and it's about racialized trauma. But the whole point of his book is that, we have two responses usually in the face of trauma, which is either to fight or flee, right? And I wonder what it would look like for more of us to face this together, not to fight or to flee, but to face it, which doesn't mean having a stiff upper lip, doesn't mean having any answers, because there's no answers and there's no control. But there's the opportunity to come together and to share the deepest parts of ourselves, to be vulnerable to each other, and to be heard and to be seen. And my fear is, even though there's amazing mental health professionals, there's amazing medical professionals, there's amazing community members doing this stuff already, there's so many people who, because they don't identify as religious or even spiritual, don't feel that they have access to this kind of witnessing, this kind of being noticed. And I really hope that more people will be able to give that gift to one another, even if it's never called religion or spirituality, to just see each other, to hear each other, to be present to this very human moment we're living in, which is very mysterious and very sacred. I hope that we can give that gift to each other. And I'm so concerned that there's a lot of people who just are being told by the media, being told by the social media feeds, like, do more, be more, pick up a hobby, you know, be a homeschool mother and a professional, and also, you know, face the biggest trauma that you've ever experienced in your life. And there's so much talk about doing, and that's both a fight and a flight response. But how can we help each other just face this and to be together with presence and with sacredness so that we know we're not alone in this, so that we don't have to die alone, so we don't have to face death and despair alone?
Reverend Halliday Kwan.
Yeah, I would echo all of the things that my good companions on this journey have already said. One of the other things that I'm holding is the major shifts that I see a lot of my people and folks experiencing, where, you know, we've had a couple of really beautiful days in Rochester. Today, not so much, but the last couple of days. And the, like, peaks of life just springing forth have been so present. And then an hour later, people are weeping and don't know why. And, of course, part of the reason why is because we're collectively going through this massive trauma, something that we, even if we are able to either settle in and not take up the frenzy of productivity, even if we're able to tap into the spiritual practices of lament and grief, and we're able to do everything that our communities resource us to do, that we'll be unpacking this for years, and that it pulls up all sorts of different things for different people. And so the person who lives alone is going through something totally different than the person who's trying to suddenly homeschool their children and do a work. Their job. And yet, with all that variety of experience, I mean, as Matthew was saying, as I heard Pastor O'Lear saying, there are these ancient practices to tap into. There is a sense now, I think, that feels really apparent, even for those of us who are not already embedded in community, that we're not alone, and that whatever's happening at this moment, even if it's different a moment ago, there's somebody to hold you in that. So that's what's top of mind for me.
So listeners, the next half hour is going to fly, but if you want to try to squeeze in with a comment, just a thought, or if you know, frankly, if we're just trying to kind of work through this together, nobody's trained for a pandemic. I mean, journalists aren't trained for it spiritually. I mean, we're not. So we're figuring this out as we go here. And if you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK. It's toll free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Email us if you want, connections@WXXI.org. Let me also say that we are committed on a regular basis, however long this pandemic goes, and frankly, beyond that, But especially during the throes of this pandemic, we're going to have mental health professionals join us. We're going to make sure that we kind of keep that conversation open for everybody who needs it. As our guests have already told you, you know, their work is in some ways it's similar to that kind of work. I mean, it's different training, et cetera, but this is a different sort of flavor. But we all want to be able to kind of come together and talk and be here for each other. So if you want to call, we're going to do that today, and we will do that on different days. Let me ask all of our guests then, before we talk a little bit about the Rochester Spiritual Care Response Team that's ready to launch, I'll start with you, Sherry. And, you know, Matthew brought up the idea of not feeling so much pressure to do, but maybe to try to instead think about how to be there. And I think about people who, I'm not going to mention a name, but there was a woman in my life who's passed away, but, you know, she was sort of really struggling with the later years of her life, you know, physical decline and some mental decline. And then her husband started to decline, and my goodness, did she rally for him. She was struggling herself, but she was this rock for him. And she felt this sense of purpose to just be there and to see her gather herself. It really moved me. It was really some amazing stuff. And I wonder, what you would share, Reverend Halliday Kwan, with people who are struggling themselves, but also want to also kind of step up and be there for others?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that looks like a couple of different things. And I will say, I feel some pride at your statement because I think, oh, you must be describing the staff of my church and congregation, as well as a little bit called out by Matthew saying, you know, of course, one of the responses to crisis and anxiety is to like launch into action. And I can see the ways in which, you know, we're doing that. And it's both rooted in anxiety and it's a salve and it can steer people towards collective purpose. So a couple of ways that I'm seeing that, I will say just our congregation has pulled together some really like regular and fantastic worship opportunities, but then also opportunities to just connect, just to tune in at noontime, you know, when you're not listening to Evan Dawson on Connections, and talk with each other and be with each other. And some of that is people organizing in mutual aid networks to go grocery shopping for each other, to make masks for people who need them, to get supplies to the people who need them. And a lot of that resourcing is happening in a few different ways that are both organic and require a lot of work from people in Rochester. But also the showing up and being present to each other and being a witness to each other. And again, knowing that some days you read this incredible short story and you're in a place where you want to share sort of what, when this is all over, whatever that means, this is how you hope the world will be different and more beautiful and more just, right? And then maybe the next day you're like, actually, I'm having kind of a low day today and I don't need someone to cheer me up, but I do need to be here and be low. So we, you know, we do a noontime gathering and then we have this really popular coffee hour after our services on Sundays and people gather in small groups and are with each other and talk to each other.
Where are people finding you right now?
Yeah, so RochesterUnitarian.org. We do Sunday morning, we do like a 9:30 children's service and a 10 o'clock service, and then we post it online later on YouTube and Facebook. But there's something really special about being there in the moment. People interact, and we've got between 350 and 400 people logging in at the same time. So it's really, really good to see faces as we're, you know, gathering.
Pastor Nikoloff, how do you view this question? Kind of, as you've said before, chaplaining to one another.
Yeah, you know, I think at least in the Lutheran tradition and many Christian traditions, there's this idea of the priesthood of all believers. And I think, you know, we need to start seeing ourselves as a chaplaincy of all believers. In a hospital, there are chaplains who visit every room on their rounds and ask, do you need someone to listen to you? You need someone to be present with you as you're going through a pretty awakening experience. For many people, being in the hospital awakens them to the reality of death or to the reality of suffering, to big questions, right? Whether or not you're spiritual or religious, to the big existential questions. And to have someone to just witness to that is really important. And I think every single human being has resources to do that, whether you consider yourself spiritual or not. But I think what we sometimes lack is the empowerment and the permission to give that presence to one another. I think so much of the kind of, not calling out Shari at all, but, you know, the do culture, and it encourages us to have some sort of idea that we have the answers or the expertise. And the paradox is that in spiritual matters, ironically, not having any answers puts you in the perfect position to just be present to someone else and to receive their pain or to hear their joys in a non-judgmental, non-anxious way. Instead of having to say, oh, yeah, like, here's the answer to that, or let me one-up that, or, you know, to feel threatened by it, to say, wow, that's what you're going through. I hear you. I see that. That's amazing. To give someone that space to just grieve or to lament or to celebrate whatever it is that they're going through, every human being has that ability. And I wonder what it would look like if, especially, I think people who are in churches should be doing this naturally, although, again, everyone's in a different place because some people are just so swamped by their conditions. And certainly we need to mention that There's people who, because of material conditions and social conditions and poverty and racism and systemic issues, like, those things didn't disappear because of this pandemic. And they unfortunately robbed people of the space to have some of these, this kind of contemplative space, right? So we need to alleviate some of those conditions too. But for all of us have those that gift to give of just being present to someone else's suffering, so that when we're suffering as well, we can be present, someone can be present to us. And I think if each person saw themselves as empowered that way, really believe that their experience mattered, I think that's what spirituality does for some people, is it gives them the sense that they belong to something bigger, maybe even that they're heard by someone or something bigger, which gives them a sense that, like, if I matter, then other people matter too, which means they're worth listening to, which means I don't need to fix them or tell them where to go. I can just bear witness to that. And somehow in that mysterious being present to the scary things and to the hard things and to the really good things, like, as Rilke, the poet Rilke said, like, we kind of love God into being when we create those spaces. Mm-hmm. Whether or not we believe in an actual God, we really create the space where God happens, right? Whatever that means for each person. And so I think everyone has that gift and that ability. They might come to it at different times, because at different times we need someone to be that for us. And at other times we can be that for somebody. But I think sometimes there's this clericalism that emerges, which is like, well, only pastors can do that, or only psychologists can do that, or only professionals can do that. And I'm like, absolutely. There's some things you should only go to a professional for. Let's not overstep our boundaries or pretend like we have expertise, but in the simple everyday ways, just bearing witness to one another's sacred humanity is a huge gift. And that, you know, I see so many people doing that in so many ways. But I think we all have the resource to be chaplains in the midst of this, even for like a few minutes a day, so that, and, you know, and then receive that from someone else. And I want people to hear that, like, you have resources. Even if you're in the worst place in your life right now, like, that might be something else that if you shared with someone, gives them the permission to say, I'm in the worst place in my life too, and now I don't feel as alone because we're in this together. You know, so
absolutely.
Yeah. Beautiful. Creating a chaplaincy of all people, I think, is a really important thing to help us all sustain and move through this together.
Pastor O'Lear, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, about 4 or 5 days before, you know, everything was being shut down, I had major surgery. And there was, and I have tons of autoimmune disease in my body, things that just happen. And so there was this natural response for me to remember that my body is a gift from God that must be protected. At the same time, holding that against, during this time, the words that we hear from God, love your neighbor as yourself, right? To balance Christian ethic of loving ourselves, of being like honoring our sacred humanity that Brother Nikoloff just shared with us, but also realizing that we also can't be reckless. And I think that's the part that sometimes gets missing out of some of this conversation. Martin Luther in a catechism for the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder, we just think about like hitting somebody over the head. No, but he was actually talking about ways in which we endanger others with our negligence and recklessness, right? And so maybe during this time, it's time to go within, right? To also be still and just listen to what is maybe brewing up within us, and yes, also help our neighbors, right? We live in this time. I love opening up the Zoom link and all of our church members, the biggest numbers we've had, quite honestly, in worship sometimes, but to keep that link open and to watch them talk to each other with this live link. Right, that is loving your neighbors also. That is greater love has no man than this. And so I love looking at this from a standpoint of balancing those two ethics out for ourselves.
You're hearing Pastor Imani O'Lear from the Reformation Lutheran Church and Pastor Matthew Martin Nikoloff from the South Wedge Mission, Reverend Sherry Halliday Kwan from the First Unitarian Church of Rochester. I'm Evan Dawson, and this is Connections. This is going to be our only break of the hour, and if you're on the phone, we're going to get to your calls on the other side of this break. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, members of the Rochester City School Board join us in the first hour. There's heavy debate on the board about proposed cuts in the district with teaching positions, programs, emotional support, and more. We'll talk to them first hour. Then in our second hour, a conversation about takeout, about delivery, about workers who are at risk during the pandemic, and about businesses that need our support. Talk with you Thursday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, Sam in Rochester first. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you doing, Evan? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would just like to say three things about what people should try to do in times like this, and that is maintain their faith, maintain their integrity, and maintain their commitment to the things in which they have been taught that as believers. And I think if we do those three things, we will certainly be in good shape. And don't let difficult times like this determine your faith, your commitment, and your integrity. Stay with those things, and we as a community, as a society, will be all right. And it's a good time to reach out to others that have not made it at their, I guess you can say, made it there, took the opportunity to know Christ as we know Christ. And be compassionate with it, too, in times like this. Because people need a compassionate ear, even though they don't know Christ. They still need love, compassion, peace, and consoling and understanding. And that's what Jesus was. And if we're going to represent him, if we're going to have the DNA of him, let us serve like him and let us be committed like he was.
Well, Sam, it's always nice to hear from you, and I appreciate the phone call, and I'll kick it over to our guests. I'll start with Pastor O'Lear. What do you make of that, Pastor?
You know, I got all sweaty because I knew. I want to be careful. I agree in those three things. Faith, integrity, and commitment fully. I also want to be careful of spiritually bypassing people. We have a tendency to use spiritual ideas to sidestep and avoid facing unresolved emotional issues or psychological wounds and some things that are unfinished in our development. And so I want to be really clear about that yes, integrity down for it like four flat tires, right? And that the fact of the matter is who I am in the light is the same as who I am in the dark in regards to integrity. But there are times when that is different every day, particularly in this time that we haven't seen, as you mentioned, in our lives. This idea of collective trauma, when we start looking at people of color, that have historical mm-hmm. traumas, right? And then you have a young black man that has to walk into a store with a mask on, the threat and danger mm-hmm. of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there's broader, this is a bigger issue than just mm-hmm. laying out three tenets.
I will say, Pastor, you might have noticed the delayed laughter from the three of us when we realized the analogy, down for it like four flat tires. I am stealing that. That is brilliant. I loved that. But I think there, obviously, light moment aside. Let me bring in Reverend Halliday Kwan and Pastor Nikoloff. Reverend Halliday Kwan, you know, I think Sam, who is a somewhat regular, and we always love hearing from Sam, you know, has a very strong faith. I think there are moments in crisis where I think doubt is probably natural, especially when, as Pastor O'Lear says, different communities of color are hit even harder and faith can be shaken. And I would think that might be even natural to have those moments. What do you think, Reverend Halliday Kwan?
Oh, well, Unitarian Universalists, we live most comfortably in doubt. So I sure hope so. But right, as Pastor O'Lear said, I mean, that stillness that you called us to earlier? I mean, yes, now is a great time, just as every time is a great time to be living out of your deepest values. That does not change. But that stillness that we're being invited into so clearly now is a conversation with ourselves, right? Parker Palmer talks about the soul being shy and quite frankly scared. And so as much as we can be open to conversation with the divine, my guess is I'm not pushing us to get really productive, and I do not want to see a bunch of theological treatises in my inbox, but I do think this is the time to be changing our minds and to be exploring new ideas and getting to know, quite frankly, some of the feelings and spiritual experiences that were just lying waiting for us to open up to them.
Pastor Nikolov, I think this is a good time to ask you, if people see that there's a Rochester Spiritual Care response team, and if they have any idea in their head that this is about proselytizing, why don't you sort of clear up what rscrt.org is going to aim to do?
Sure. Well, I think RCS, I can't remember the analogy. Sorry.
I'm reading it off your sheet, man.
RCRT.org, right, yeah, the thing that we're starting. You know, I think as chaplains are trained and spiritual care providers in hospitals are trained, when someone is on their deathbed, many people see that as an opportunity to try to convert them and to say, hey, you're in a really dire situation, so let me kind of use that energy to try to hook you into the kingdom, right, or to get you to believe in my belief system. And that's the exact opposite of what I think spiritual care is meant to do. Spiritual care has nothing to do with what you want someone else to be thinking or feeling. It has everything to do with helping the other person to witness to what is going on in them. In response to the caller, and I think along those lines, right, in the Gospel of Mark, which many Christians will be meditating on this Good Friday, the last words that Jesus speaks are not, "Yay, God, I have faith," or, "Oh, my man, this is going to work out so wonderfully." The last words in the earliest gospel we have recorded by Jesus are, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Those are the last words of Jesus in the first gospel account, which is probably the most accurate one in terms of historicity. Jesus doesn't die well by most people's standards. He dies with a lot of rage and questioning and fear, and I think even sadness, like, where is God in this moment? And people wonder that, whether they're using the word God or whether you're just someone who's like, what the hell is this all about? And to take that away from somebody and say, oh, you know, you just need to believe in this, right? Some people might find comfort in that, and I don't want to disparage anybody for whom that is a comforting word. But for many people who are not religious, who are not spiritual, who might even be anti-religious because of the trauma that the church has and is continuing to perpetuate in the midst of this crisis right now, the callousness of Christians who think that going to church on Sunday is more important than protecting their neighbors means that they really should ditch the label and stop calling themselves followers of Christ, because what we're celebrating tomorrow is Jesus saying, put aside anything that's important to you for the sake of your neighbor, right? Jesus' last words is like, I don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know if any of this meant anything. Why have you forsaken me, God? And I think being attentive to that cry, that deep existential roar of anguish, that wondering why some people don't get access to healthcare because of their race or socioeconomic positioning in society, that wondering why, and also at the same time, I think when we are attentive to that, when we face that, when we as spiritual leaders are willing to be present to that rather than trying to fix it or flee from it, paradoxically, most of the world's great religious traditions and spiritual traditions teach us that the paradox is when we face the hardest parts about ourselves, we find the most divine things starting to creep up from within that, which is not at all to make suffering into this wonderful thing. I don't personally believe that God causes suffering on anybody or that suffering is in itself sacred. I do believe that spiritual care helps us to find companionship in the midst of intense suffering, gives a listening ear to that voice of what is going on right now and says, what do you think? And let's walk through this together. Let's be companions in the midst of this. So for us on the spiritual care response team, We are unapologetically LGBTQIA plus affirming. We are purposely trying to reach out to folks who are not part of a religious community already. People who wouldn't go into a hospital and mark down a religious preference, because this is not about money or religion or trying to make our church bigger or get more views on Sunday at our worship service. This is about helping people face despair together, to survive and outlast, and maybe even to discover some of the deep questions that are welling up. Whether or not we save our church through this pandemic, we definitely need to continue to help save lives. And this is a contribution I think that spiritual communities can make, is bearing witness to some of this anguish and helping people to discover the resources in their own life and maybe even find some what I'd call grace in the midst of that so that they can survive it and maybe even give that gift to someone else so that collectively as a community, as an ecology of spirituality, of many diverse spiritualities or lack thereof, we can help each other survive and maybe last out of this and grow out of it. So I think that's what spiritual care is about. And this team is a really amazing group of folks who are from a diverse group of backgrounds, all sorts of different traditions and lack thereof. We have some atheists as well as some like hardcore kind of, you know, Christian folks. But everyone is committed to non-proselytizing, non-financial gain. This is not connected to any kind of project other than that we want people not to despair. We want people not to die from despair or from their fear, but rather to learn how to find in that despair and fear the energy that will help us to survive and to serve one another.
All right, we're going to lose time very quickly as we get toward the end of the hour. So let me go ahead, and I'm going to try to rip through some phone calls, and then we'll get some closing thoughts from our guests. Let's see here. Mike's been waiting in Rochester. Go ahead, Mike. Got to keep it tight.
Okay, I'm really impressed with Pastor Mikhailov, and Sherry knows me very well. So I'm just going to repeat a couple of things that Pastor Mikhailov said. What I hear is, to get through this, just be who you are. Listen to other people. And I'm going to honor the God within other people, I think is kind of sums it up. So I was really impressed. Anyway, that's all I got to say.
Beautiful, Mike. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you taking the time to add your voice here, as is Gary in Bloomfield. Go ahead, Gary. Keep it tight.
Oh, thank you very much. I very much appreciate this topic. I want to leave with a kind of a positive note. The word crisis itself is actually from a Greek term, which means opportunity. And from a psychological point of view, a crisis is a short term. It's a 6 week, or you know, around that area. And you never come out of a crisis in the same way you came in. You either decompensate and come out worse, or you learn and you grow through it. And I guess what I'm suggesting that is, if people look at not just their personal life, we're usually too busy to look beyond our own life. This is giving us a time to look at how society is and what are the really big issues, what are the things that you want to see in our life and our society be.
That's great.
And now we can actually think
Absolutely.
About how to bring that about and communicate with other people and see the unity of people and just try to work with others in order to you don't have to do that physically. I mean, you can do that virtually. But to look at the positive. Look at there are problems in society and in every society. So instead of turning our backs or turning our heads and burying it in the sand, maybe we can take a straight look at that and say, can we do things differently that incorporate everybody's goodness?
Yeah, that is a beautiful, beautiful message, Gary.
Yeah. Amen, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Standing ovation for that.
Amen.
And I got to squeeze in Reverend Pritchard and Victor. Go ahead, Reverend.
Hello, this is Colin. A huge word of thanks to colleagues in care. I'm a pastor of a local church, a chaplain in the sheriff's department, and one of the regional leaders for the Presbyterian Church in Genesee Valley. And just extending a massive word of thanks to all the people who are choosing to use their energy, effort, and faithfulness to serve other people. And just a great word of thanks to you all, and blessings on the journey. Please take care of yourselves as we all seek to take care of this world. Thanks.
Reverend, thank you very, very much. And I'm going to close the hour with some music that I think is actually quite spiritual, even though I didn't know John Prine perfectly personally, but we're going to get to this in just a second. Before we let our guests go, real briefly here, let our listeners know where they can get more in touch with you, and do it again, Reverend Halliday Kwan. You mentioned where you are online, but where people are finding you for now, but do it again real quick.
Absolutely. RochesterUnitarian.org. And if you want to get specific, you can get to /stayconnected.
Wonderful. Pastor O'Lear.
We're at reformationinrochester.org or on our Facebook page, Lutheran Church of the Reformation, for all of our worship services.
And Pastor Nikoloff.
Yeah, to access the kind of stuff we're doing at the Southwedge Mission, you can find us on Facebook or follow me or find us on my page. If you're in need of support, if you're feeling despair, anxiety, any of those things, even if you're not religious or spiritual, even if you have no money, check out rscrt.org. We have a request for help form. We would love to connect with you. You're not alone. Please reach out. You matter. Your experience matters. We'd love to help you get through whatever it's you're going through. And I know that Amani and Shari would feel the same way. And let's support each other through this, you know?
rscrt.org. Thanks, everyone, for a beautiful conversation.
Thank you.
As we close the hour, we lost John Prine yesterday. We had a tribute show to his music on Monday, and then he was gone. And I think this beautiful song called Summer's End is a way for us to think about our limited time and the lack of guarantee of tomorrow, but also the beauty that is here today. I want to thank Megan Mack, Rob Braden. I'm Evan Dawson, and we're going to listen to John Prine take us home today.
Hope I didn't ruin your whole vacation, where you never know how far from home you're feeling, until you've watched the shadows cross the ceiling. Well, I don't know, but I can see it snowing in your car. The windows are wide open. Just come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home. Valentine's break hearts and minds at random. That old Easter egg ain't got a leg to stand on. Well, I can see that you can't win for trying. And New Year's Eve is bound to leave you crying. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home. The moon and stars hang out in bars just talking. I still love that picture of us walking, just like that old house we thought was haunted. Summer's end came faster than we wanted. Come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Come on home. Come on home. You don't have to be alone. Just come on home.